Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your morning out there. Thanks for being here. We're going to get into some fun stuff in a little bit. Got entertainment news coming up. We've also got about, the dumbest things people take pride in. We've got that one coming up for you as well. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. Everybody knows what that means. Tell me something
good. Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR for this Monday, March 10th. Today is National Pack Your Lunch Day.
Cool.
So I wondered, what does that mean? The Cambridge Dictionary defines a packed lunch as a light meal put in a bag or container that you take with you to be eaten later, for example, at school or work. I remember having to pack my lunch when I was in school, and I don't necessarily do this nearly as much as I should anymore.
That's true. Because you don't have a cool lunchbox. That's what you need. You need a cool lunchbox to do that, right?
There was this topic got my brain going through nostalgia like crazy with so many things that I was curious about if are still happening in schools. Mm-hmm. The joy of getting to pick out a lunchbox.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so cool, yeah.
The thermos that came with the lunchbox. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a combination there. The idea of trading with people during lunch.
What you had in your lunch, yep.
Yeah. That was always... You know, the metal ones were always a little more expensive. Mm-hmm. And if you got the thermos, you know, you knew you were in the
magic thermos. That's right. It was like high value in your lunchbox, right?
So go ahead.
I was going to say, I made it super easy on my parents for like six straight years. I never ate the lunch at school. And this was like elementary going into like junior high. Every school day for 6 years, I had a cheese sandwich for lunch every day.
Just cheese.
Just American cheese.
You're weird.
And with my
but
little,
I still love you.
With my little pound puppies.
Oh, nice.
It was plastic, though. It wasn't metal. It wasn't as cool as that. But I made it super easy for my mom. And I mean, I'm sure at some point she was like, are you sure you don't want something different? Like, no, mom, I just want the cheese. Somehow I still like American cheese.
That explains it.
Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
That was all I needed. Maybe a bag of chips. But unlike you, I got to the point, I ate too much, and now I don't eat much peanut butter.
Yeah, like you overdid it.
I think I got burnt out of my peanut butter.
See, I was the mixed bag because we were on free and reduced lunch because pastors did not get paid a lot. They still don't get paid a lot, but they did not get paid a lot back in the 1980s when I was going to school. And so getting our lunch at school was a treat more than a rate. Mm-hmm. And I loved peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I'm one of those weird people. I liked that it got soggy, that the bread got a little.
A little moist, mushiness.
Yeah. It just, and that is nostalgic. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, I was the girl, so I had the strawberry shortcake lunchbox, but I really wanted the 18 one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a cool lunchbox.
Oh, that's right. You were the big. I remember that because I know some kids who had the 18 lunchbox. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd love to hear from the audience. If you want to call in 424-2600, let us know what was your go-to packed lunch in school. And do you actually pack your lunch now? You know, I find that I eat at my desk, but I don't, because I work right next to where I live, don't necessarily have to pack it. Although I have borrowed my son's lunch boxes to do that a couple of times just to keep things. And we have a caller.
Hello, what's on your mind?
Yeah, on special days, my mom would give me peanut butter and jelly and orange marmalade and banana slices.
Ooh.
And that was the most awesome sandwich.
Sounds like it's actually excellent. Sounds really good right now.
Love the orange marmalade. I was usually like a strawberry girl.
Mm. That's cool.
Thanks for the call, sir. Have a good morning.
Yeah. Great.
Well, packing a lunch always seemed time-consuming to me as an adult, right? Do I have the time? So I always relied on my parents, and if they didn't have the time, I didn't get a packed lunch. So I really didn't like what was being offered at school. I still had to do it. But there are definite advantages to packing a lunch instead of buying it. The Clemson University Cooperative Extension Home and Garden Information Center, save that five times fast, on their website, hgic.clemson.edu, shared an article on their saying, saying packing lunches for work or school. In it, they shared that people pack their lunch for three primary reasons: economic, nutrition, and weight management.
From an economic standpoint, the article says, taking a bag lunch from home can save both money and time compared to eating out in a restaurant or cafeteria.
The article shares a bag lunch is usually cheaper than eating out. Let's say that you eat out for lunch twice a week, and the average cost of your meal and beverage is about $8. You can save $16 per week, or up to $800 a year, minus the cost of your homemade lunch. The savings will be greater if you eat more home-prepared meals every week.
That's right. So what do we put in those meals, and that helps keep our costs down? You can eat planned overs from the last night's dinner, like extra soup, chili, pizza, pasta, casserole, spaghetti, all of those leftovers, or use leftover meat like meatloaf for sandwiches.
Yes.
Make enough lunches at one time for the whole week, because then you don't have to spend time
even worry about
morning,
it, right? Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Do one large time. Cook large batches of soups and stews and freeze in portion-sized containers. Mm-hmm. Buy only the amount of food that can be used in a reasonable amount of time. Although buying large quantities may cost less, it won't save you money if you have to keep throwing it away. Check the unit price of lunch items to make sure that the store quote-unquote special is really a bargain.
Yeah, you should do that anyway.
A little bit. Yep. Buy items in bulk like fruits, vegetables, cheese, crackers, trail mix, and baked chips, and package them yourself in snack-sized self-sealing bags. Pack enough for the entire week and store. Commercially packaged single servings of these items can be expensive. Mm. Remember that you must make wise choices. Otherwise, you could spend just as much on lunches made at home as you would if you ate out. Mm. You know, and we look to Lunchables. That's become the main thing. And those are getting to be even more expensive than if you were to just buy a block of cheese, cut it up, buy
some
few crackers.
Yep.
You know, if you can buy that in bulk and then make that Lunchable yourself, it could save you some money.
Yep.
When it comes to time, the article shares, quote, a bag lunch is a time saver. You don't have to stand in line at the cafeteria, drive to the fast food place or sandwich shop, or wait for your food to be served in a restaurant. That gives you spare time to relax, run errands, take a walk, check email, or surf the web, or pet your dog.
Yeah. I think that's something that gets missed a lot, is the time saver. You don't have to do all that waiting around, right?
Right.
And in our family, many have an issue with time management because of their neurodiversity issues.
Mm-hmm.
Beth.
Both of our boys.
Our boys, too, yes. It is often easier to just buy lunch than it is to actually make it.
Yes, and so the article actually has some tips for that as well, some time-saving tips. Designate a spot in your refrigerator to store the lunch items. So if you make them in advance, they know exactly what shelf to go to pull out what they need to be able to make a lunch. Stock your pantry with lunch-friendly ideas, like unsweetened canned fruits, dried fruits, 100% fruit juice boxes, canned meats, granola bars, and individual pudding cups. Set aside a drawer or cabinet for storing lunch supplies, like plastic containers, airtight fitting lids, sandwich bags, disposable forks and spoons, plastic wrap, and aluminum foil. Make several individual grab-and-go containers or plastic bags of cut-up vegetables at the beginning of the week. So if you buy like a large stalk of celery, take the time the day that you buy it, start cutting it up into those smaller stalks like what you would find in a vegetable tray and store them in baggies so that all they have to do is go grab that one baggie.
Right.
Make your sandwich the night before. It can be refrigerated or frozen to keep it from getting soggy. Pack lettuce, tomato, and other moist foods in a separate container. Then add them to the sandwich just before you eat it.
The McDLT, that's our I think of all of a sudden.
When storing dinner leftovers, pack a serving in a separate container for tomorrow's lunch. Put a container in the quote-unquote lunch section of your refrigerator. And if you have coworkers who share the same taste in foods, consider participating, this was a cool idea, in a lunch pool with four of them.
Hmm.
You only have to make lunch for everyone one day a week. Making five of the same lunches at once is quicker and easier than making five different lunches each day.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I've never heard of that before. Yeah.
And I think there's something, too, that comes along with these things. And when you do them and you can get into a habit of doing them and a routine of doing them, how good it feels to have things like on a Monday and thinking, I got the lunches all taken care of.
Oh, man, that's got to be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just having the simplest thing. We don't make a lot of this, but having things off your checklist in your head is a endorphin release that we don't touch on very often.
That's true. That's true. The whole list thing. Yeah.
Hits the dopamine. Yeah. So if you make it kind of a game and a challenge at the beginning of the week, you know, and things like my kids love grapes. And if you pack like cheese or something that needs to stay cold, the best way to do it, pop the grapes in the freezer. They become ice cubes to keep the rest of your lunch cold. Mm-hmm. And by the time they get to the lunch hour, they have now thawed and still kept your cheese cold the way it needs to be.
You can eat the grapes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Beth, you said something there that I think is an interesting note, too. I joke all the time that my diet is that of a teenager. It hasn't evolved or grown or anything. If I'm being honest with everybody, some other things haven't necessarily either. When we're teaching kids to clean, what is one of the ways we do this? We turn it into a game.
Right.
Right.
I'm still doing it. I'm still like, as an adult,
still gamifying.
I just did it yesterday doing my laundry. I had a game going in my head of like what I could get in and what I couldn't. Like, so the idea of these, again, the checklist, the game, whatever it is to get you to get into this routine, once you get comfortable with it, I think you're going to find not only the convenience part of it enjoyable, but maybe even like changing up that routine a little bit. And you know what? I don't want peanut butter and jelly every day of the week. On Wednesdays, I'm going to have this. On Thursdays, I'll have this or something.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. You know, this made me think of in Japan, where they have, you know, if you've been to a Japanese restaurant, they may have something on the menu called a bento box, right? Well, that's specifically a lunch box that they have in Japan. And it's one of those things where, I mean, these can get extremely elaborate, where they have little slots for all the different foods. And sometimes, and I don't know if this is still as much a thing as it used to be, it was kind of a judging thing, you know, how good the bento box you brought from home was, meaning, wow, your mom or whoever, you know, really cares about you because they made an amazing bento box kind of thing. But it's really cool because you get a large variety of foods and you just get to bring it with you, that kind of thing. Right. So, and again, maybe it's universal swapping.
Yes.
Oh, it's big in Japan, too, is swapping stuff from your bento boxes.
Although like, I'll have that. In this day and age, have to be a little bit more careful with the trading of things because of allergies that are out there. Peanut allergies, tree nut allergies, milk, gluten, all of that is a lot more prevalent nowadays than it was in the past. Mm-hmm. So I know some schools have special tables for those that have tree nut or peanut allergies, that they cannot have anything that was nut related at those tables, just to make sure that it's safe for them.
That's really smart.
Right.
And one of the modern, you know, you talked about the bento box. Mm-hmm. They actually sell an Americanized version of that, which is just a bento container that has all of those separate. I remember you had to pack, you know, a baggie of this, a baggie of that, a baggie of this. This puts it all in separate slots in that box and with one lid.
Yep.
Makes it a lot easier to carry, take it from home to school or to work.
And you can just rewash it. You can save on waste as well. Yep. So
I know this is not what we're talking about. And thank you. It's very interesting because I'd never heard of the bento boxes before. So that's really interesting to me. And the Lunchables comments were so interesting about this conversation too, Beth. But if I'm being one of the things that happened from this that I had to talk about with my parents yesterday, like a lot of households, my mom made most of our lunches. But there were stretches where my dad wasn't working mornings, so he would do that or something like that. And while we may not be awake when the lunches were made, we always knew who made our lunch. and the kind of joke is that like dads would like just throw like two things in there or something like that. Mm-hmm. My dad would put like a lamb of leg, like a whole lamb in there. For each one of us, he would like throw like here's a meatloaf sandwich, Jimmy, but it's like half the meatloaf is in there. when I did have a brown bag, that thing was just huge. I don't know how he crammed everything in there. I just wanted to shout him. I was joking with him about it. Do you remember this? And somebody's,
very nice.
My father was impressed with how strong brown bags were.
Exactly.
Like, brown
bags. Let's see what we can do with this thing here. Yeah.
Well, no matter if you bag, bento, or buy, make sure you take time to eat your lunch so that you can have the energy for whatever the day brings you. And we'd like to bring more customers to your business by having it as a sponsor of this segment, where it will be highlighted, and you'll have the opportunity to be interviewed and have us present present this segment live from your business.
Yeah, we've been doing this segment for a while now, everybody, mm-hmm. and this has been one of our more successful things coming out of mm-hmm. the morning show. It's a great opportunity for you businesses out there, whether you are a restaurant or you are a, mm-hmm. a food store or you're just a business in town here.
Sure.
It's an opportunity every Monday right in this time slot for us to be rambling about you and talking about mm-hmm. you and hyping you up. If you want a reference of what I'm talking about, go ahead and check out the Misty's Menu or the El Cafe birthday and anniversary clubs that we've done over the years, yep. or some of the other promotions we've had as sponsors of the Kitchens Open before. Ask how yep. well we've treated mm-hmm. them and how mm-hmm. good of a tag team partner we are when That's it comes right. to this stuff. It's a great opportunity to get your business out there, along with showing that you support this community and back this community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're interested in more information about this sweet deal, just give us a call at 715-424-1300. That's 715-424-1300. You can touch Pam. Pam will put you in touch with Ashley. We'll work out all the details from there.
That number, once again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yay!
All right.
Another great episode. Another good one.
Nice. Me thinking of what I'm going to have for lunch already.
There
I'm
you sorry, go. Yeah.
Segment makes me so hungry.
Make sure you pack it. It's National Pack Your Lunch Day.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to go look for a G.I. Joe lunchbox.
Ooh,
I'm
going to see if I can find nice.
That was what I had. I had a G.I. Joe lunchbox.
Very cool.
It was awesome.
Cool.
We will take a quick timeout, but Beth, nice work again.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Shout out to Beth Habhacker and the Kitchens Open. Nice work, Beth.
Yeah, that was cool.
Be listening every Monday for another opportunity to hear Beth in the Kitchens Open.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive right into some entertainment news, everybody. And this one's going to be tough. On Friday, Dolly Parton dedicated a song to her late husband called If You Hadn't Been There.
Aww.
I just want to play a little bit of this for the audience. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now.
If you hadn't been there, where would I be? Without your trust, love, and belief, the ups and downs we've always shared, and I wouldn't be here if you hadn't been there.
Just one of our greatest songwriters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when this song was written. I don't know what she was thinking or feeling when she was writing it. In the caption she wrote, I fell in love with Carl Dean when I was 18 years old. We have spent 60 precious and meaningful years together. Like all great love stories, they never end. Mm-hmm. They live on in memory and song. He will always be the star of my life story, and mm-hmm. I dedicated this song to him.
Wow.
And as you could hear, I played that beginning in part because of the lyrics that I think are so important. If you hadn't been there, where would I be without your trust, love, and belief? Uh-huh. The ups and downs we've always shared, and I wouldn't be here if you hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take a pause just for a moment and take the emotions out of this, because this is a heavy one, and mm-hmm. it's heavy on the heart, even though I don't believe any of us knew Mr. Dean. It hits us because mm-hmm. of how much we care about Dolly and everything.
Right.
But if you could just take a step back, just respect and appreciate this woman's lyrical paralysis, like just mm-hmm. incredible lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. I feel like there's so many things that get talked about with Dolly Parton, and all of them rightfully so. But we just do not take enough time to focus on this woman as a writer.
Yes.
As an incredible writer. Yep. Those are some of the better lyrics you are ever going to hear.
Yep.
Period. Like, I've got goosebumps right now, man. Like, it's just incredible the way yep. she does this. And to be able to be so in tune with yourself and your audience at her age, after mm-hmm. seven decades she's been doing this?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And all of that being said, in this day and age where people can't go 5 seconds without taking a selfie and putting it online or something like that, but they don't give you this.
No.
Like, she ain't doing that. But when she shows you a look inside her coat right. of many colors,
mm-hmm.
this is what you get. mm-hmm. content, actual meaning and feeling and everything.
Right.
Like, for her to share all that is just one of the bravest, more powerful things I can think of as a human being or a creative can do.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason. Go ahead, Melissa.
No, you go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say, there's a reason we don't know much about Carl Dean. He was the private side of her. And that they did that. I'm guessing they did that very specifically, is that that's where she went to when she needed to be out of the spotlight. You know, he was there behind her the whole time, supporting her. Obviously, she talks about it in the song. He was always there to help her along. And she considered him, you know, the rock that she stood upon. So, I mean, that's really remarkable. You can see, and you can hear the emotion in her singing.
Oh, my God.
Tell that it's.
And that's something that we can't get from someone who hasn't experienced that.
Like, that's
nobody
right.
else could write what Dolly wrote for that song. Mm-mm. Nobody.
Yeah. It was very personal. Exactly. Yeah.
It was personal, and it's beautiful, and it gives us an insight into their lives.
Exactly.
That she chose to share with us. That's the beautiful, that's the beauty of art and artists.
Exactly.
And what humanity and humans are able to bring to the world of art
and share with everybody.
Yep.
I hope she's doing all right.
Yeah.
Wanted to touch on this one too. Kiss is no longer around. Kiss is not touring or playing together anymore.
Right.
I mean, we know that because they did a final tour back in 96 and 7. I saw it. But of course, they're still performing going on for the boys individually.
Right.
Paul Stanley is still doing quite a bit of work, and that and so is Gene Simmons. Well, what's it like to be a rock and roll roadie? Well, how many of you got about, 12,500 sitting around? Anybody? Anybody? Because if you can part with that much money, almost $13,000, you can find out. That is how much Gene Simmons will allow you to pay him to join the road crew on his upcoming tour for one day.
One day?
Yes, you have to load gear and help set up the show, but you also get some perks. You can you get to eat with Gene, sit on the sound check, and receive a signal set list and a bass guitar that's used during rehearsal, plus a crew shirt and hat. Gene will also bring you on stage and introduce you and get to bring one guest with you. You can also bring up to 4 items for Gene to sign. But here's the hitch, as if the 13 grand wasn't the hitch.
Right, exactly.
That does not include your ticket to the show. You literally have to buy that separately. Now, I have a lot of respect for Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons and I as a creatives. What they set out to do, they never lied about what they were. They were going to put their name on every single thing that they could, and they were going to try to be the biggest band in the world,
right?
And all this, and they did a pretty darn good job at what they set out to do and everything. But one thing I also mentioned about Gene Simmons quite a bit is how out of touch he is, and how he has been the majority of his life, and how he makes these opinions and these assumptions without actually even knowing or talking to people.
Right.
This is maybe this is top 5 most out of touch things Gene Simmons has ever done. On the surface, how cool would it be if, who knows how many more tours Gene Simmons is going to do?
Right.
You know, the idea of being able to be on set with a rock legend, I'd take that. Or if this was a contest and he was doing something like, hey, go ahead and, you know, enter this contest and you could be a roadie with Gene Simmons or something like that. All that sounds pretty cool. I'm raising money for charity. Gene Simmons is a literal Israeli. He was born in Israel. He is a Jew. It'd be nice to see him kind of using some of that to maybe promote or you know, fight some of this anti-Semitism that's out there or something. Instead, like, he's just looking to make a buck. Mm-hmm. One of the richest musicians of all time is trying to make a buck off of us.
Yeah.
Like, and who can afford this? I've got at least, off the top of my head, 5 to 6 diehard Kiss fans. I'm talking about not just people that like Dynasty or Destroyer or something like that. I'm talking about people with Kiss Army tattoos. And I don't know a single one of them that could afford, even if they all pooled their money together, could afford one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
No. Who is this for?
I don't know.
Who is this for, Gene?
Gene, and maybe I'm being harsher than you, James, but I think he's a jerk. I mean, because of a lot of the stuff he said, like you mentioned, I've heard interviews with him where he's just, for no reason, he's just being a jerk.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. Why, Gene? I don't know. You know, it, boy, contrasting him to Paul Stanley, who's like
one of the,
you know, just a professional, just super, you know.
Paul Stanley's one of the more self-deprecating, funny, and going out of his way for fans kind of guys. I don't understand necessarily where he's coming from on some of this stuff other than just not being rich enough. And honestly, being out of touch.
I think that's has a lot to do with it.
But it is, you know, an interesting idea and concept. And I like how you brought up the fact that it could be done for charity. I would challenge any traveling, touring band to do this, to like say, okay, you know, we'll do this as a, we'll draw a winner.
Yeah,
donate
exactly.
$5 to this charity and you're entered into the drawing.
Yeah,
imagine
that makes sense.
How much money they would raise.
Oh my gosh.
In a day and age where we're trying to get the artists and people to seem more human all the time, this could not seem more inhuman. This could not seem more out of touch.
And greedy and all the other stuff you could put on with it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going to take a quick look at what's new on your small screen tonight, in part because I just wanted to mention Ringo and Friends at the Ryman. That is on at 7 o'clock on CBS and Paramount Plus tonight. You can watch it along with my parents. it's a two-hour concert special with country performers from Ringo Starr alongside Mickey Guyton and Sheryl Crow.
Wow. Cool.
And just seeing the Ryman is going to be impressive.
Oh, yes.
Let alone the Ringo and all that and everything. I actually played a little of Ringo last Friday on the Sunrise Show. Sounds great. He sounds good. It's just great to hear.
He was always the country one of the group, right? You know, he always had that kind of country flavor to him. So I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, this is not new for Ringo.
Oh, no.
He's always been this guy. Yep. He's always been. And to be fair, also jazz, also other arts. Ringo is all around, just likes music.
Absolutely.
Just a music guy. And I want to take a note to congratulate and to thank many of our community. We had a very, very busy weekend this weekend.
Oh, my goodness, did we?
Our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings were defending their reign and had an up-and-down weekend, but they ended up being victorious, beating the Northwest Express, a 2-1 series victory for them, moving on in the playoffs.
Cool.
Follow your boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. A shout-out to GM and Coach Paul and all the boys for 100%. A great week.
Yep.
Great job by them. I want to shout out all of our local high schools that were in playoff action.
Yep.
And certainly our wrestlers and our gymnasts and all of there, our power lifters out there that were working hard this weekend. Big shout out to all of them. And a special shout out to the Wisconsin Lady Royals.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
The Assumption Girls.
The Assumption Girls, they did move on to the state tournament now. They've got semifinals coming up this coming weekend. We don't have the exact time yet. But it will be in the morning on Friday for the semifinals, and if they make it, on Saturday morning for the finals. So, Sevastopol. Now I've got it now because I heard Randy say it 100 times on the broadcast on Saturday. So I got it. I have to say they put up a big fight. The Royals were only up by 2 points at halftime, but then they kind of did their thing and they kind of took over the game in the second half. So big shout out to the Lady Royals.
I actually caught a little bit of Playmakers when you were talking with Randy about that, James, and I'm sorry, maybe not Randy. Whoever you were talking to.
It was Randy.
It was Randy, yeah.
Okay,
Randy,
okay. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, is that going to replace James' favorite Sheboygan? Because, Sevastopol, Sheboygan, they're both kind of fun to say.
They are. They're both very fun to say. But residents of Sheboygan, fear not. You will always be
still
my
number one
city name. And thank you, Melissa, because you just teed me up perfectly because I wanted to wrap up the segment talking a little bit about Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Congratulations to the winter production of Arsenic and Old Lace wrapped up this weekend. Seth, to you and the whole team, congratulations. Mazel tov, all you guys.
Round of applause over here. It was so good. So, so good. I got to see it on Saturday. Congratulations.
And
guys.
I have to say,
fantastic job.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Melissa. I have to say, this was one of the best attended winter shows we've had in a very long time. So I want to say thank you to everyone who came. It was fabulous to see all those people there. Thank you so much.
And of course, the show must go on, mm-hmm. and we have one more main stage show this year, and oh, did we save a great one for last. Noises Off, one of the more fun and I think legendary, if I can say, shows yep. when it comes to theater. And it is being directed by your own Melissa Kay.
Yeah,
yes, I'm excited to have my directorial debut on the WRCT stage.
Wow, you picked a doozy, by the way.
It's going to be a fun one, though. This is a huge play. Mm-hmm. And by huge, I mean it's going to be a lot of work. Not that it's a huge cast, because there's only 9 people. Mm-hmm.
But it is going to be one of the most ambitious stages we've ever put together.
Absolutely.
On there. And you can be a part of it, everybody. Right, Melissa?
Yes. Auditions are tonight at 6 o'clock and tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Just come down to WRCT. If you want to be on the stage or you want to work backstage, feel free to come. It's open auditions, so you can just come and watch. Mm-hmm. But you're welcome to participate. We are going to have 5 days a week rehearsals because this is a big show. Like, it's 3 acts. It's long. It's going to be a lot of work. And I'm hoping to get a team together that is willing to put in that time and work, and it will pay off because this is a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm. Get on down there, everybody, and keep in mind that you can save a little time if you'd like. You can fill out your audition sheet and right now at wrctheater.org. Encourage you to do that. Be a part of things as well. Now, keep in mind, if you don't feel comfortable being on stage, we got room for you behind the scenes.
In fact, Melissa's going to need a lot of people behind the scenes on this one.
Yes.
This is a fun opportunity, and it's a great one to be a part of. Yep. And it is, while she mentions this is her directorial debut, Melissa's directed Seth and I in productions around here and done some other things that we can speak to this. She is amazing. She's a lot of fun to work with.
Thanks, James.
There's few people that can balance. You're going to work hard and you're going to feel better from it.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to earn it and you're going to enjoy that. What were we talking about earlier? Sometimes it feels good to do things. Mm-hmm. Feels good. That's how this show is going to be.
Yep.
You're going to have a lot of fun during this, too. I would like to thank Melissa for the audience. And I don't know if I need to share this, but I actually already got my audition in. I got to finally do my Simpsons one-man play. Melissa sat there through the whole thing. And I really appreciate that, Melissa. Thank you. I still haven't heard back from her. Still haven't heard back yet.
My initial thoughts are that was a lot of voices, James. That was a lot of different voices, and I would like to say well done.
We encourage you to get to, your tickets for Noises Off and fill out that audition sheet and meet us down there tonight, today and tomorrow. Auditions will be 6:30 to 8:30 over at the
Six
o'clock. I'm sorry.
It said 6:30 on the website. That's why.
Okay. I thought it was 6, but I will be there.
She'll be there.
She'll be there.
She'll be there.
Whenever you show up, she'll be there.
Get on down there, everybody, and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll be back with more show coming up on the morning show.
Well, who would I be?
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Got a fun one I wanted to touch on here with you guys. Someone asked the internet, what is the dumbest thing people take pride in? if you're somebody that mentions every chance you get that you are maybe the foremost resource in Simpsons information, somebody bragging about that. Can you imagine
that
somebody
guy?
Like being proud of that?
I'm telling you.
That audition was impressive, James.
Let's go through this list here. When people are proud to say they don't read or haven't read a book since high school.
Jeez.
I've never necessarily come across that, but I do know that I wonder if people realize how they sound sometimes when they say that, because I have said things, not that, but similar things, like it's been a while since I've been able to read a full book or something. But I feel I'm saying it with shame. I don't know so much pride.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody say it with pride.
Yeah.
I think I've heard it said just like
they're sheepish, right?
I don't have time.
Yeah, right. Or something. Oh, man.
There are people who genuinely don't enjoy reading.
Right, right. But still, even people like that, they try. You know, that I've met anyway. If someone said that to me and they're like, I haven't read a book since high school. Well, that means you're what, dumb as a post? That's what I think. And maybe that's not fair, but that's what I'm thinking, you know?
Well, there's a lot more in books that you're going to get an information you're going to glean in a different way than if you only consume, TV.
Or social media or whatever, right? Yeah.
Right.
Also on the list, not knowing how to use computers or any tech or caring to learn the basics. I do like the idea of this being the same person, the person who hasn't read a book and also doesn't know anything about tech.
Anything about computers. What have they been doing for the last 40 years?
I do have a little bit of respect for someone who has refused to own a smartphone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I hear that.
I mean, they have a cell phone, but it is a simple flip phone, and they use it for that purpose. They still do social media and computer stuff on a computer, but they don't carry a smartphone.
They
in
don't
their
just
pocket.
Do with a phone. Okay.
I got a little bit of respect for that.
Working themselves to death and not taking time for themselves.
Mm. That's become less of a thing. I remember there was a time when that was like a badge of honor, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, I work 60 hours a week.
It's
and
still a thing,
my
Seth.
Teeth are falling out and, you know, all the...
It's still a thing, though.
Yeah. I think it's less so now, though.
It has become less so. Yeah. I think we're becoming more of a, hey, you know what? We might as well, like, live and enjoy the life we're living because we only got one.
Because we're killing ourselves, literally, by working 60 hours a week, right? Yeah.
Not sleeping enough.
Oh, have we covered this one enough? I don't know.
buy that.
Being unhealthy.
Of being unhealthy.
That'd be weird. That's kind of where I eat nothing but, you know, hamburger, steaks, and
donuts
and Jack Daniels.
Being so busy and being so lazy.
Okay. What?
Are those like two different things or
they put them together?
I don't know that you could do both.
That's weird.
So this list we'll continue on with, but this list comes to us from Reddit or Ask Reddit more specifically.
Okay.
But I feel like this is a list from the 1950s.
It kind of sounds like that.
It feels like things that people used to say, but I don't know that they said it with like that they were trying to take pride in them.
Right.
It was more of a description. Like, we didn't share emotions as much back in the day. We didn't tell people how we felt as much.
Right.
So instead of saying, my God, I am so busy, or my God, I've got too much on my plate, we would just say, man, I'm a workaholic. I'm busy, yep. Or, you know, any of
I'm
these
bushed.
Things.
I put in, you know, yeah, whatever.
I don't know that it would be bragging the way that we look at bragging now.
Right.
I think a lot of this was almost venting in its own way without knowing how to vent.
Right.
Drinking or smoking a lot, drinking and driving. I've never known anybody that has necessarily taken pride in any of these things.
Right.
But
you're a country singer.
I will say, we do have a lot of culture that puts a lot of emphasis on these things.
Yes.
Especially in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yes.
And as I maintain, and I want to stress, I have nothing, you know, with smart, responsible drinking.
Right.
It's a big part of our economy here. But also, you are more than that. Hey, Wisconsin, you're more than that.
A lot more.
You're more than a drunkard. You are more than some caricature that the rest of the country tries to label you as. And don't give in to that. You're better than that. There's one thing to call your Major League Baseball team the Brewers. That's cool. And it's one of the better logos you ever see. It's another to be like, this is all we're known for? Cheese and drinking? Like, come on. There's a heck of a lot more about this state to love and appreciate and take pride in.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you can film your horror movies.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
come on.
Huh? We want to do that.
I'm just going to burn through some of these. Like, now here's one: the number of followers they have on social media.
Oh, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, that's one I don't feel like hits home as well as some people might think.
Especially nowadays with bots everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
But also, like we've talked before, James, with like actors needing to have that number of followers just to get roles.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, and there's this thing too, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before or not, but I not my current agent, but my last two agents looked at my social media account right away and immediately, like Erin, my previous agent, she's a little younger, and she just sent me this link of how you can sign up and get all these bots so that it looks like you've got a billion followers and everything. So I start looking.
That seems like a good idea.
You all would be surprised how many famous people actually do this and how many of those people. Like,
makes sense.
I got to be honest with the audience. I have never been more cynical about maybe any. Well, that's not true. I when it comes to social media and social media apps, I don't know if there's anything I'm more cynical of than the number of followers anybody has.
Anybody has.
I don't care if we're talking about Lady Gaga or me. Like, yep. I don't believe any of it anymore. After I got these links, there's like a million. And this was 7-8 years ago. There was like a million links that, hey, sign up and you get 12,000 followers. Sign up for this and you get 15,000 followers or something like that. And and there's a lot of people that are just trying to make a career and doing this. And I can't imagine how much of their information has been taken from that.
Right.
Yeah.
Scary.
Not that matters anymore with Doge in the office and taking all of our information.
Yeah. Because
that's what he's doing, you guys realize. Right? He's mining information from us right now.
So he can use it to get more money.
Being right, especially when you're wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doubling down on being wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so annoying.
The performance of their sports teams. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a hilarious one that I am very guilty of, and I will wholeheartedly admit, but I have never played a down for any sports team or an inning or anything like that.
I might lose some people here, but I got to say it. Is anyone else, because and maybe you can't see because you're from the state of Wisconsin, but as an outsider in Wisconsin for a few years, you know, off and on, the Packer thing is weird. The Packer thing is weird. I mean, seriously, it's like it's almost like a cult. Mm. It's people who don't like follow any other sports and then they worship the Packers. It's just it's weird.
Well, but they're not the only ones that are weird about the football team. Look at what happens in Philadelphia.
It's the whole state. That's the thing.
Well, I will say that part. I hear you on this, that it's a little different when it comes to, like, I don't know if you there's anybody who has lived in this state long and, like, you look, go to the left, go to the right, there's Packer fans. I've never lived in a state where a sports team is that dominant.
Yes.
I will say, though, one thing I appreciate about it, like, usually with that kind of thing, it's pushed on you, even if you're not a fan or something.
Yeah,
I watched
every Packer game there was until I was in my late 20s.
Wow.
Early 30s.
Wow.
And I wonder
why you hate it so much.
Yes, now you understand. It was the only football games I watched, but I watched every single one.
Oh, wow.
And just one more real quick, because we really got to get to break here. But being brutally honest, like the people that take pride in that, there's this the type of person out there. Well, yeah, I'm different. I tell it like it is. No, you just lack
tact.
You just don't have tact.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't have an ability. Like you just there's a big difference of that. A lot of people do that. They just do it a little bit more tactfully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anyone says starts their sentence with I'm not trying to be a jerk. Oh yes, you are.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that. You're trying to be a jerk.
You do it.
Yeah.
Nothing good has ever come. No amount of respect has ever come after. In all due respect.
Yeah. Nope.
Nothing respectful has ever been said after that phrase. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take it to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for joining us and kicking off your week with us, everybody. Let's get to our schedule and some good stories of the day, everybody. And stick around. Not only do you have Matt and Air on Air coming up from 10 to noon, join Jane and Greg for that, and Maggie Dawn show from 2 to 4 this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Maggie will lead you right into Midday Magazine. We got a great one to kick things off for the week. Join us from 4 to 5 Monday through Friday. Today, Haley Heitzel is going to join us. Our 77th Alice in Dairyland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking.
The finalists were announced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that and our cheese and a bunch of other stuff with Haley.
Good Wisconsin stuff.
And part two, the Historic Point Boss. We're talking Sugar Bush event. We've got Tom and Larry with us to talk about that.
Nice. Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Always a good conversation.
Couple of quick notes. Want to remind everybody that American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin is going to be going on this Wednesday from 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church. All area veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. Make plans to attend American Heroes Cafe this Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church.
Woo.
Big thank you to everybody who puts all their time and effort into that.
Yes, indeed.
And our friends over at Family Natural Foods this Thursday have their foundational nutrition presentation going on. Join them at 5:15 over at 910 West Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids, for this amazing presentation. Brian's awesome. Our friends over at True Grace are great, Wisconsin company. Encourage you to check that out. Everybody, make plans to join them for that. It's going to be at 5:15 this Thursday, a wellness presentation, foundational nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, we got another great event coming up this week.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow, it's almost here, everyone. Been hearing Terry and James talking about it. Women United Power of the Purse is coming up tomorrow from 5 to 7:30 at Bullseye Golf Club. There's going to be a pasta buffet, a cash bar, of course, networking, a purse silent auction, which is always very cool, and raffles as well. It's $40 per person in advance, $45 at the door. But go have some fun. It's a great event, and it's for a very good cause, of course, for literacy. So it's a really fun event, and you can help support the United Way.
Yeah. Awesome. Find out more at uwswac.org. And we also wanted to touch on this concert we have here.
Yes. Coming up on the 20th of this month, it's a Thursday. We've got the music of Billy Joel and Elton John. Michael Cavanaugh is the man who will bring it to you. One of the top 50 touring acts in the entire country. Of course, you know the music of those two. You can get your tickets right now online, savorthearts.com, and go pick them up now. You can pick your seats as well.
Great interview with Michael the other day on Midday Magazine. Encourage you to check that out, everybody. He is incredible. An incredible artist.
Amazing.
The guy's very talented. Yeah. I want to remind everybody as well that auditions are happening tonight for Noises Off. Get your voice all set and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And head on down to the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater for Noises Off auditions going on from 6 to 8:30 today and tomorrow at the WRCT Auditorium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bring your accents.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
And your smiles.
Yes, we'll see your teeth.
A community in East Texas pitched in to help a 13-year-old named Kaysen Snyder hang out with his friends more. A car crash in 2017 left him paralyzed from the waist down at 5 years old, so he's in a wheelchair. People donated enough money to buy him an all-terrain wheelchair so he can go hiking, fishing, and hunting with his friends.
Wow.
They surprised him with it on Sunday. Cost over $18,000.
Woo! Wow. Holy cow.
That's pretty cool.
They're not cheap.
Two high school golfers were playing each other in a tournament near Dallas 2 weeks ago, and one of them ended up saving the other's life.
Ooh.
High school senior Angel heard his opponent yelling for help and found him in a water hazard. It turned out the kid fell in trying to grab a ball and couldn't swim. Angel pulled him out and he's okay.
Oh,
wow.
Even though they were soaking wet, they decided to finish out their match, which Angel won.
Oh, nice.
And cops gave him the Hero of the Month award.
Very cool.
That's so great.
Very nice.
And a guy in England tried to rob a convenience store last week, but a 42-year-old woman was buying candy and happened to be a fifth-degree black belt.
Oh, jeez.
And she's also trained in the Brazilian art of jiu-jitsu and boxing.
Oh, my God.
Guy didn't stand
Picked
a chance.
The wrong store.
She landed one kick and the guy was down.
He was down. Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's great. Great show today, you two.
You too, man.
Have a good day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.